every now and then we deal with situations where we perhaps are uncertain about what to do or uncertain about the choices. And when we go ahead, we find that God has already taken care of the details. That happens to us in large ways. It also happens to us in small ways from time to time. And I had an example of that just a few days ago. Next week, we're honoring teachers, and so I hope that you will be here a special Sunday. But there was a little paragraph that I wanted to use in the lesson next week, and I looked and looked and looked for it, couldn't find it anywhere except the introduction to a book. So I looked up the book. The book is $15. So I need the book, but I need it quicker than it would normally be here. So that's another $15. So it's $30 for one paragraph, and I'm trying to decide, is that the right thing or not, you know? I ultimately said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. So I clicked on it, and the price came up zero. Amazon had issued me a $34 credit because they're in some kind of class action lawsuit, and they had just credited me this amount, and it was paid for. And I know that seems like such a silly thing, and some people could even say that's coincidental, but that happens in our lives. There are times when we look at something, and sometimes it's that big, huge thing, and we think, how in the world am I going to be able to do this? And when we actually take the action that we know we should take, there's God already laid it out for us. And that's such a faith reinforcement. This morning, I'm going to read to you an entire book of the Bible. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's an easy way to do a sermon. Just read the book of Matthew, and that'll be the end of it. Fortunately, it's a very short book. It's the book of Philemon, and it's not a book that we go to very often, and I'll explain my theory of why that is just a little bit later on. Beginning in verse 1, going down through verse 25. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Appia and Aripus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets at your home. Those two names there are likely Philemon's wife and son. And as Paul will do in a number of places, he addresses the church that meet in these people's houses, multitude of church homes that are explained to us. Down in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of many people. He's trying to get to some common ground here. And after these verses, Paul jumps in to the reason that he's writing the letter. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man, now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he's become both useful to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. You don't have to read between the lines very much there to understand that Paul would like to have Onesimus with him all the time. He says, but I don't want to force you to do anything. I'd like for you to do it on a voluntary basis. So he's kind of twisting things just a little bit. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. Paul says, I'm not dictating to somebody. I'm writing this with my own hand. And he says that because he's emphasizing how important it is. Writing this with my own hand, I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Again, a little manipulation there. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is one of those situations that I was referring to earlier. Onesimus is a slave to Philemon. And at some point in time, Onesimus flees. He leaves Philemon. He may also have taken things from Philemon, and some commentators believe that. He leaves Colossae, which is over in Asia, and goes all the way to Rome, where who does he run into in Rome but Paul? And Paul converts him to Christianity, and Onesimus serves Paul for a while, but ultimately they decide, you know, this isn't the right choice. And the right thing to do is to send you back to Philemon. Now think about the odds of that for just a minute. Colossae to Rome is more than 1,000 miles. That's a lot in our day and age, a tremendous distance in this day and age. And yet Onesimus finds the one person who knows his master. They're friends. Paul is likely involved in Philemon's conversion as well. And so we see here God's hand in all this. But men take this story and they go, okay, this has to have an ending. It has to have a conclusion. And Paul's conclusion is to write this letter to Philemon and say, I'm trusting you, brother, to do the right thing in this situation. I said earlier, I have a theory as to why we don't talk about Philemon very much. One of the reasons is the slavery issue. We certainly don't know, we don't understand, and a lot of times because of the issue of slavery in the Bible, we slide away from talking about some of those related subjects. I think the best explanation of slavery in the Bible is simply the reality that Jesus didn't come to make social changes. Jesus came to change hearts. And that was confusing. It was confusing to the people of Jesus' time. They expected him to throw out the Romans. And think about that for just a minute. What if he had? How would the world be different today? That would have been important historically. It might have had a historical ripple that would continue for 2,000 years. But Jesus' impact would have been very limited. Instead, in changing hearts, Jesus has had impact for 2,000 years and will continue to have impact as well. And the byproduct of that is, when hearts are changed through Jesus, then societal things start to change as well. And we see that. It doesn't move as quickly as we'd like for it to. But we see that happening. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's important for us to always remember that God sees us as equal, valuable individuals, that Jesus cared enough that he would die for us as equal individuals. But the reality is that when this passage was written, that wasn't the situation in the world. And yet, since that time, it's become more the situation in the world, and we continue, hopefully, to make progress in that direction. Three things jumped out at me as I look at this chapter, this book. The first is, sometimes our relationships get complicated. This is a complicated relationship. Paul has to send Onesimus back. That's complicated. And when we have interactions with other Christian people, sometimes those relationships can get a little complicated. Sometimes our children bring the complications. Maybe it's our occupation. Maybe it's our political beliefs. Maybe even our biblical beliefs at times. Maybe it's just those human emotions that cause us to say or do something in an impulsive moment that we really wish we hadn't done. But the reality is that occurred. It happens. And so we're faced with some choices as to what to do about it. And a lot of times we don't do anything. And these unresolved complications, conflicts, if you will, can sometimes drag on for years and years and years. The interesting thing to me in this story is that Paul's going to do two things. One, he's going to do what is right. This isn't what Paul wants to do. He makes it very clear. He'd like to keep Onesimus. He'd like to have Onesimus as a friend and as a supporter and as a co-worker. But there's a higher calling here, and he's determined to do what's right. And often we're faced with a number of situations. We can rationalize going any number of directions. But the reality is, what's right? And if it's right, that's what God wants us to do. The second thing is, he's going to talk about it directly. Honestly, openly, share all of the information. And this has got to be a tough letter to write. I would suspect that Paul thought about it and prayed about it for a long time. There may have been multiple drafts before he finally said, okay, that's the way I want to send it. But in our conflicts and in our differences, we sometimes don't really have honest communication. A lot of things could be resolved if we would have honest communication. First of all, sometimes we figure out there was miscommunication that caused the problem in the first place. It takes courage sometimes to have communication. I'll share with you a personal story. Back when I was doing counseling work, I was thinking of another term there. I can't bring it to my head right now. At any rate, I would have a number of clients. Most of them were court-ordered. And frequently things would come up in their lives that required that some people be notified. Department of Human Services or police department. And you can imagine what that does to a therapeutic relationship. To have to report information. And I had a good friend who had been down this road a number of times, and I said, how do you handle that? It just destroys me to lose these relationships that you've worked so hard on. He said, here's what I do. I call the referral agency with the person that I'm calling about in the room. And my first reaction was, whoa, that wouldn't work. And yet as he talked about it, it became a little more interesting. And ultimately, that's what I started to do. If a call had to be made, I did it in the presence of the person. And surprisingly, many of those relationships were able to continue. We're afraid sometimes to really get things out. Often what we all want is just to know exactly what's said, exactly what's been communicated. And it's a challenge for us that we can take from this particular Bible story. In Scripture, I like the word forbear. It appears mostly in some of the older versions, but is making a reappearance. It means to politely or patiently restrain an impulse. Your impulse might be to say something. Your impulse might be to strangle. Your impulse might be to swing your fist. We have all kinds of impulses. But we're invited in Scripture, or not invited, commanded to forbear, to resist that impulse. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, always be humble and patient. This is a contemporary version. Patiently put up with each other and love each other. Forbearance is the word that would appear in the earlier versions. But this one says to patiently put up with each other. Sometimes we just have to put up with each other. Sometimes we just have to patiently endure what the other person is saying or doing or thinking or advocating. It doesn't do any good to have conflict. We're going to be forbearing the other individual. If you look at Galatians, these are the fruits of the Spirit. This is the most recent NIV translation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They've translated the word that we typically use as patience as forbearance. It's an important part of what we do with each other. There are things that we just overlook. There are things that we just deal with. There are things that we're just patient about. There are things that we may say in our own minds, the person will grow past that. Or maybe I will grow past that. But forbearance and the dealing with the consequences is part of the lesson we can learn. Second thing, and I'm going to have to move quickly through these last two, is it's a challenge to build bridges instead of building walls. It's easy to build walls. We see things all the time that we don't like. We see things that happen in the world. We see things that happen in other people. And since we don't like that, we recoil from it. We move back. And we disconnect from various individuals in that process. Instead, we need to try to build a bridge. You know, you go out to build a bridge, you're going to put some supports up there. God gives us the resources to build those supports. And then he asks us from that foundation that he's provided to go ahead and finish that task. It's a difficult one. Edwin Markham, he drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Often we find ourselves constantly drawing smaller and smaller circles until we wind up with maybe nobody left in our circle at all. We've isolated ourselves totally from other people. The last thing that I would point out is you may have noticed that Paul says to Philemon, so you will have him forever. And the last thing that I'd share with you this morning is that our spiritual relationships are forever. This is not about a friendship. This is not about a working relationship. This is not about any kind of human relationship. Instead, as Christians, we have a relationship that's going to last forever. And we try to rationalize that sometimes and say, well, that person's not behaving like a Christian, or I'm really not obligated, or various kinds of things. But the reality is, this is an important relationship that's going to last for a very long time. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Probably all of us have had that experience where somebody that we really didn't like, somebody that we really felt was difficult to deal with, we have something that happens and we wind up seeing them through different eyes. Oftentimes, we can wind up being their friend, and they can be our friend. And when we look back on those things, we're reminded that if I was just cutting off all relationships, if I was just withdrawing from everybody that I didn't agree with or from everybody that I felt like I didn't like, my world would be so small. And when I allow myself to forbear, then I give opportunity for relationships to grow and develop and get to the place where God really wants them to be. Some of those relationships we're most grateful to have. We've come through the difficult times, and the comfort level that follows that can be amazing. Paul writes to Philemon, and he says, I know this is going to be tough. I know this is complicated, but I'm trying to get you to build a bridge to the future. I'm trying to get you to understand that this relationship is forever. And he puts upon Philemon the responsibility to act, react, like a Christian would. And this morning, that's the same challenge that we have. The challenges that we face in this world, and especially the challenges we face with each other, based on how God would ask us to react. This morning we extend an invitation. It's God's invitation, not a man-made invitation. If you need to respond to that, we'd be glad to assist you while we sing this song together.